Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest from the pop crossover group Il Divo, David Miller.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest Nesta. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I've said it before, but in this case, it's an understatement. I am so excited about this show today. It is already one of my favorite shows and hasn't even started. But you know what? That's how good things go. You just know something is good, and this is good. And, you know, it's interesting. This show, actually, our guest, reminded me of something I haven't thought of in a long time because I've developed other tools since. And let me share what I mean. When I was a little boy, I used to feel something about people when I met them, whether I liked them or not, whether they were nice people or not, whether they were sincere or not. I didn't know I was intuiting something or feeling an energy, but I used to think I was watching something in particular. And I was, and this is what I thought I was basing it all on. I was basing it on their smile. So wasn't the actual smile, I suppose, a little bit about how big they smiled or how nice their smile was as opposed to an uncomfortable smile. What I used to watch is how long it took for their smile to go away after they smiled. And then I would see how what it transformed into after the smile. And I would be staring at these adults, looking up at them as you know this, you know, you've hi, how are you? And then the smile goes away right away. And I'm thinking that was the fakest smile. And sometimes my parents or other people would say, this is your uncle or this is your this, and say hi to them. Oh, they love you. Oh, we love you. No, they don't. Look at that smile. No, I couldn't say that because a lot of things that I said people never understood. So why am I bringing this up? As I grew older, I didn't just use the smile. I started to use my intuition about people. And so the reason I bring this up is because normally 9 times out of 10, if their smile went away really quickly, there was something going on there. They were being disingenuous or they were upset about something. So there was more going on there than most adults saw. And so this is the thing. With David Miller, our guest, when I met him, he's a big smiler. He smiles a lot. And I remembered, I think I met him 4 years ago at the Sergio backstage at the Sergio Franchi concert, thanks to Ava Franchi, actually. And I remember that's a smile that lasts. His smile, and I kept watching it because it's like so big and so there. And I'm like, and it keeps going. And it's like the Energizer smile. I mean, it just keeps going and going and going. And I'm like, that's sincere. That is so cool. And then I didn't know at the time that he was Il Divo, even though I had seen him perform live 13 years prior. But that's a whole other story. And then I found out, wow, he's Il Divo and he's still smiling in the sense that, you know, people say fame changes you. Well, you know, I don't know. David is sincere. And then I see him, then I come to find out, okay, I'm like, I got to look this guy up. Here we are. He's on the show. And I look, Il Divo performed at the closing ceremonies of the World Cup in front of a billion people watching. All right, they've sung with Celine Dion, Barbara Streisand. They've sold over 25 million CDs in over 35 countries. I mean, right? So this is a guy who's a star. And yet here I was at his show last week and I'm watching him now and knowing, okay, that's my friend up there, but everybody else is cheering and going crazy. And then when he gets off stage, he's smiling at everybody and he's genuine and he got to be exhausted, but he's sincere. And I think that to me is a true star. And we have him here in the studio, and I'm so excited. So, and then we have Nesta coming up after that with her live music here in the studio. So we've got a great show for you. Stick with us. We'll be right back right after this.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark LeSure, our co-host, and yeah.
You're smiling.
I'm smiling.
Sincerely.
Sincerely, yes.
Imagine that. You know, it's, as you were listing out the things or the performances that Il Divo and David have had, obviously that's a lot to smile about. But before that, I was conjuring back to when you and I met and wondering how we got here. Because I don't think I was smiling. I think I was a little grumpy when we met back then. So it's interesting. I would have wondered what you thought of my smile when we met.
I can tell you about that after the show. But I have other tools now. So not to worry, in case you're wondering.
Good to know.
You're here. We're here.
I'm here.
We're good.
Good.
Okay. Well, you know, as a way of introduction to our guest, I've already said a lot. And obviously, he is Il Divo. Little did I know, by the way, that he is like the Il Divo of the Il Divo. Let me explain. Now, so David invites me to the show and thinking probably I would come and just enjoy, but I was working. I did a little bit of research backstage, yes, but also before the show with people I knew, people I didn't know. And I asked them, it's like, how would you describe David Miller? Because it's like, you know, there are four of them. So how do you describe that, the David Miller one? And some people said, he's the American. And I'm like, he's the American? Oh, yeah, that's right. None of them are American except David Miller. That's interesting. Okay, cool. Somebody said, he's the tallest. By a mile, by the way. He's the tallest by a mile. Okay, so, all right, so he's the tall one. Okay, what else? And somebody said, he's the one with the highest voice. That was your father-in-law, by the way. And he says, I think he sings higher than my daughter. Anyway, and then I got a lot of these. He's the cutest. And so I thought, I didn't want to, there it is. Ladies and gentlemen, the cutest, Il Divo, David Miller. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Now, come on. When you were introduced, the crowd just goes crazier than the other three. I mean, nothing against anybody. It's just, you know, anyway. I should say you're also a great American tenor. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
Thanks for joining us.
Hasn't this been great?
No, I have to say it's really interesting what you were saying about people's smiles, because it's always been it's always been like a, this is a weird way to say it, but like a priority for me to like, I think when I was a kid I learned somewhere that takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown. It actually takes more energy to frown and to be upset and to be in that place. And being a middle child and kind of growing up vying for attention from mom and dad, I think the quickest way to do it was to get a smile on my face. And the easiest way to get a smile on my face too was to actually be happy. So it was just, it was like a learned, it was like a Pavlovian response almost in a way that just translated into a whole like worldview.
Wow. I'm thinking you came into the studio with a smile. Now I saw you Thursday night, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And then you had two shows after that. And here we are Monday night live. And you came into the studio smiling after driving in LA traffic to be here. So you've got something going.
Well, it's just, it's, what do you call it? The joie de vie, you know, the whole, like, I love life. I love everything about life. I get paid to do what I enjoy. I get paid to play. I get paid to make other people smile, you know? I mean, there's no better job in the world than to make other people smile.
Wow. Wow. And, you know, you also make people laugh. I noticed that it is more of your personality that I know off stage is now creeping on to the stage, mm-hmm. which is the joking around and all that stuff. And the audience is eating it up. So are you going to add more of that?
Well, I think, this was the first tour where we really kind of broke out of the foursome and kind of expressed ourselves and showed our personalities and sang solo moments and really give people an understanding of why we were put in this group to begin with, what it was that Simon saw in each one of us.
Simon Cowell,
right. Yes. And what he saw in each one of us that warranted bringing us together in this group. And once we were put together and kind of put out there for the world to see and hear, we just kind of got into a place of what's best for the group, what's best for the sound, what's the name is, it's Il Divo, it's not the plural, it's the singular, it's what happens when the four of our voices come together.
Nice.
Right.
Nice.
And it's all about cooperation and harmony and you know, that group synergy. And so this was the first time where we were like, okay, well, let's show what the pieces of the whole look like. And I think there was there's obviously, you know, being in going around America, it's, I'm the hometown favorite, obviously, you know, when we go to Spain,
that's what it is.
When we
sure.
go to Spain, it is not the same reaction, I guarantee you. when we go to Switzerland, it is, you know, Urs gets all night long just everything goes crazy, right? We don't play in France all that often, but when we have, it's been the same response. There's obviously, you know, and we structure the show in a way that kind of allows that person on their home turf to really shine.
That's nice.
You know, so it's
wow.
You know, we're actually friends, the four of us.
Yeah,
after
13 years,
we're still, you know, we still get along very, very well.
You could tell on and off stage. Very cool. Well, there is a story that you told me the very first time we met, and that was like I said, about 4 years ago, and I said, I would love to hear that story on the show. Mm. And you said you would tell it, and normally, like, this is why, normally people tell me, I'm a life coach, I have this way, this thing about me. People tell me things that they don't tell anybody else. And I thought that's what you were telling me. And as far as I was concerned, no one would have ever known that story. And that would have been where it ended. But I said to you, gosh, I would love that story on the show, as if it's never going to happen. But, and you said, I'd tell it. And I was shocked. And I'm like, wow, you're more real than I thought. Okay. So I then today found out that you've never, ever told anybody the story except one person.
Yeah.
And so, and that maybe it wasn't. So here we are. This is, so ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, David Miller is going to tell a story.
World exclusive.
It's kind of like on the road to Il Divo that he has, that never been heard on radio before or ever in print or on TV. And this is exciting. So we'll be back right after this with that story and a little later on, live music by Nesta, all on the Life Changes show.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us.
have good luck, and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, David Miller of Il Divo, American tenor. Yes, and the crowd goes crazy. In America more than other places.
He's still smiling,
by the way. I don't believe it. Anyway, so let me take you back. This is the part of the story which is interesting because somehow this is the part of the story that I know. So about 13 years ago, Laura Savini of PBS invited me to come see a new band that was being put together, and in Los Angeles, she said, "Come see these people. They're called Il Divo, and we're going to film their first show." Well, little did anybody know, although the hope was great, that they've become what they've become. Interestingly enough, on the road to Il Divo, 4 years ago, David shared me this story with me. Where would you like to start, Signor?
Well, I guess I would start in L.A. The thing that was consuming my life pre Il Divo was the having been cast in the Baz Luhrmann's La Boheme on Broadway.
Yes,
and
forgot
that,
to mention that
that actually completely transformed my entire consciousness about music, just in general. But prior to that, I was having I was in the middle of a 10-year operatic career. I went to college for it. I did an apprentice program for it. It was my entire world and my universe, and I was just a snotbutt about the whole thing. It's okay. Really the apex of the human voice and what its capabilities are is to sing opera. And, you know, that's kind of a, you know, that's kind of what the opera world really kind of, a lot of them have held on to for a really long time, because you spend so much time training your voice and training your voice and climbing up the ladder. Mm. And, you know, when you get there and you finally get to express yourself through this virtuosic music, there's just something transformative about that as a singer, and even as an audience member, listening to this virtuosic, you know, 15 years in the making from when they decided they wanted to first sing opera to being on stage in front of you. You know, some people go faster, some people go slower.
And it's impressive, and you're great at it.
Oh, thank you very much. And so I landed the gig of the Baz Luhrmann La Boheme on Broadway, and spending time with Baz Luhrmann was completely transformative for me in the way that he's not from ensconced in the opera isms, right? He comes from the world of film. He did a staging of this in 1991 with the Opera Australia that kind of sat in his back pocket for years and years and years. And then he brought it to Broadway and worked with each one of us. We spent 6 weeks in rehearsal. Normally you get like a week, 2 weeks to kind of like throw it all together and get it on stage because, you know, budgets being what they are. 6 weeks. And for the first 2 weeks, we didn't even sing. We treated it like a play. We treated it like a movie script.
Wow.
And we established character relationships with each other that you just don't ever get to that level and depth in
traditional opera
scheduling.
Yeah, definitely not.
And so it created a bond between us as performers. It created deeper bonds between us and our characters. And he was very much of the opinion that it's not about singing as loud as you can to blow people back into their seats. Mm. It's about giving people just enough so that they want to come out of their seats and they want to hang on your every word and they want to be with you in those emotional moments, making it as intimate as possible, which completely went against everything that I was taught and trained to sing to the back row of the back balcony, you know, like belt it out, Louise.
Impress them with the high notes. That's
exactly.
That's the money note.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Being impressive. Well, for him, it was more about creating relationships and showing the humanity and showing why music transcends language and how the orchestral underpinnings already give the audience the emotional mood. You don't have to show them the mood. You don't have to do really hardly anything. The music will move them for you.
Wow.
Just be present.
Like the movie of a film. Like
exactly.
Interesting.
So I did that, and which is where I met my wife, Sarah Joy.
Right. Well, because she was the leading lady.
She was. She had joined the show to be a swing and an understudy, and then ended up doing the last performances with me before the end of the. We had remounted it. It closed on Broadway, and then we remounted it in L.A. And as that kind of came to a close, and she did the final performances with me, and from there, I went to Italy. And to kind of go resume my opera career.
Mm-hmm.
And
I should add that when you're doing something like that on Broadway, especially when you're the star of the show, you get a lot of attention. You get a lot of people, especially
definitely.
If the show's a success and people love it.
Definitely. More attention than I had ever had in
right.
my opera career up to that point.
Right. So here you come off of all of this attention and you go to Italy.
And I go to Italy, you know, one of the birthplaces of the tradition, and to go sing a Rigoletto in Piacenza. And what ended up happening was at the time felt like a complete and utter disaster for me personally. I went and it was... I had several things kind of working against me. One, it was an updated production, and Italians take their opera very seriously, especially when it's Italian opera. And to update it, to take it out of the comfort zone of where they think it should be, you know, that's already like it's a little kind of like okay. But I mean, if it's a good concept, if it really sticks, if everything is cohesive, you know, they'll say, all right, good job. But if it's not, then, you know, you kind of have, they'll grumble a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
Italian Americans do that too, by the way. just,
just so you know. What are you pointing at me for?
Just clarify.
Okay. Let the man finish.
So then there was, you know, we also had a German conductor who Germans have just a different sensibility about music based on their own traditions. And so he was very apt to take tempos that were not traditional. It was just a very non-traditional kind of in every sense of the word. None of the cast were Italian. I think there were two Russians. There's me, the American. There was, you know, there's a lot going on. And Piacenza is
so
just
a perfect storm here.
In a way. And Piacenza is right near Verdi's birth town. And so it was
the composer who wrote the opera Rigoletto.
Right. Yeah. And so it was like his home turf, you know, and Rigoletto being his arguably his most famous work, La Donna Mobile, that kind of everybody knows. It's
right.
used in commercials all over the place. So what ended up happening was I go on stage, I start singing my thing, and the Italians just kind of aren't having it.
Oh.
And I become the scapegoat for the whole thing. And I'm singing like I always would sing and have sung around the world. And I sing my aria, and I get some mild applause and some boos. And I thought, oh, did I just mess that up? What happened? So, okay, and then it became apparent every time I finished, a scene would finish that I was in, the boos would happen. And it wasn't just the people from before. People started getting on board with it. You know, there's kind of an infectiousness to just dislike.
Mm.
I mean, this is part of human nature. We all have an infectious nature that wants to jump in on the boat, the criticism boat, and to like all latch onto something that we all just hate. So that happened to be me in this case. And so by the end of the night, when I sang my last lines and literally the conductor had to like hold for the boos to settle down, it just got worse over the course of the night, right? So, okay. Personal low point for me across my entire career. So, okay, fine. So we get to the next show, and I've got friends in the audience who are there to see the show, and they speak Italian, and so they're out in the foyer, and they're overhearing people who basically just brought their bag of tomatoes to throw at me in the form of boo. They were just ready. It was a scandal. It was in the paper. This guy, they all booed the tenor. So everyone was just ready, wanting it.
Wow.
And so they're out there in the foyer, and they're talking to people, and they're like, but do you know who it is? No, it doesn't matter. He's an American. But do you know he's got this big long career and he went to school for this and like you know,
and you're
been,
a great singer.
He's been
I mean,
doing it for you know he's like 15 years into career. He's not just some American yokel. Like you know, give it a chance, be open to it. So they made friends with the group of people. Blah blah blah. So we get to the same point in the show, sing the first song, and you know, hit the high note, and then the boos start.
Oh,
and I'm like, okay, here we go. But then my friend and all of their new friends they were sitting around start countering with Bravo. And then the boos were not having any of that. Then this back and forth between Boo and Bravo was happening. And I'm like, what is going on here? And by the third piece that I was in, it had become a war out in the house. And I was looking down at the conductor who was literally just holding his hands in the air going, I don't know what to do. I've never had this happen before. So long story longer, they came backstage after the second show.
Hurry, because my stomach can't take it.
And I'm not upset about it because I knew I had been singing well. I knew that this had to just be some sort of political, like internal opera world universe thing.
Oh, come on,
you
had to be upset about it.
Well, I mean, I was angry about it because I was like, I am up here doing a
good
job. Good,
people.
Why are you booing? I don't get it. What is happening? And my friends explained to me afterwards that people were just kind of gunning for me. And then the general director comes backstage and in Italian, and I do speak Italian. I speak more when I'm in Italy. It all comes back to me. But she comes back and we're having a discussion and she's basically saying, look, this is too much of a scandal for the company. We can't handle this. It's bad press and we're going to have to let you go. And I was like, okay, so what have I done wrong? Nothing. So, but you're letting me go. Yes. So you're firing me. Yes. But have I done anything wrong? No. And I couldn't handle that either. I was just kept going rounds and rounds. I'm like, let me understand. And this is all happening in Italian. And so she said, look, you need to sign this piece of paper saying you're sick and that you can't complete the run.
Wow.
And we're going to hire you and we're going to bring in your replacement from La Scala and that'll be that. And I said, but you told me I'm going to sue you guys. And they said, well, you can try, but it'll cost you more in German arbitration than it will, you know, what your fees for all the performances are. So at this point, now I'm devastated. Now it's all like sunk in what's happened. I've just been fired for the first time in my life from a production.
You've been booed.
I've been booed for the first time in my career. Oh,
wow.
And it's all like hits me all at once. And I get on the phone with my agents and they're like, all right, well, you know, this is not uncommon in Italy. And I was like, what? They're like, no, this has happened before. It's like, okay, why didn't you prepare me for this?
Yeah.
But they're like, don't worry, we'll get you some auditions, we'll get you some and the run was supposed to go for another 6 weeks of performances.
So and you weren't prepared. You had six weeks.
Yeah, this was my gig for 6 weeks.
Well, but there was a reason, just quickly, there was a reason they wanted to put somebody else in or something.
Well, my agents told me after the fact and they said, look, this does happen in Italy, and apparently the Italians take opera so seriously that all of the houses, opera houses, they're state-run opera houses, federally funded, and so there are bylaws in the government, the Italian governancy, that kind of dictate about Italian opera. And one of those apparently is that if an Italian is available to sing the role,
right,
that if there has been someone brought in from, you know, a foreigner brought in,
right,
that if an Italian becomes available, then the Italian should be the one to do it.
Oh, man.
But what they have to do in order to make that happen
is
there are these things in the opera world called claques. And a claque is just literally people that you give a couple bucks to go sit in the audience to either root for the person you want them to root for that you're paying. Like if the diva, you know, if this is my debut at La Scala as the soprano and I want to have an extremely successful night, I will pay 50 people to sit in the audience and cheer every time I sing something.
Wow.
But you can also do the opposite. You can pay people $5 to sit in and just boo every time the tenor sings.
Oh,
and they don't know and they don't care. They're making $5-$10, whatever, and get to see a free show.
Wow.
And so apparently this is a thing. So I am to understand that someone did become available because they got fired off their gig and they got really upset. And so they sent a claque after me.
Wow.
I don't know if that's true. my ego wants to believe it, but in either case, I was there was no reason in my estimation. So
you were devastated.
I was devastated.
You were crushed. You were hurt. You were.
Tell me we're going to commercial. Tell me we're going to commercial. What a cliffhanger.
I hate to leave our hero in suspense, crushed and hurt as he faces the dragon of his life, but we have to go to a commercial. But we will be back, I promise.
Stay tuned.
With David Miller and his story. What happens? Well, you kind of know, but anyway, but you don't know the part that he's going to share with us. Nobody knows. So here, we'll be back with that story and a little, and right after that, live music by Nesta, all on the Life Changes show right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and David Miller, who was in the middle of telling a story. I don't remember exactly what was...
I was crushed. I was devastated.
Oh, by the way, David Miller of Il Divo, the American tenor, yatta-ra-ta-ra. Okay, so you actually know the end of the story, but share with us.
So I've just been fired from my opera in Piacenza, Italy, and my agents are like, okay, don't worry, we'll figure out how to get you some work. You're over there, you know, hop a train, we'll get you some auditions, and we'll see what sticks. And I ended up going to Paris, and they had found an understudy position for Roberto Alagna in the opera Manon at the Opera Bastille, which I had not worked there before. So that was a kind of a great way to get in, you know, into with that company and make associations and whatnot. And meantime, Sarah Joy and I were trying to figure out how we were going to see each other. And so she actually ended up coming over to Paris because I was going to be there during that. It was like 6 weeks. So it was the perfect amount of time to cover what I was lost from Italy. So she came over and we were staying in the Latin Quarter as I did a little bit of research and tried to find the a hotel that was as close to Café Momus in the second act of La Bohème as possible. So we stayed in the Latin Quarter there.
Which is the opera where the two of you met.
Which is where we met. The La Bohème on Broadway, and so it was. I was pulling my romantic persona up by its bootstraps, and really trying to create something special. And she came over, and while I was there, I had gotten a call from my agents again that a record company was looking for tenors who had operatic training, but to sing and make a CD of music that was not opera, and being willing to use your opera voice, not singing the opera repertoire, which a lot of people just aren't.
Right. They would snub.
It's what, you know, part of that whole mentality, the opera mentality of opera, the repertoire of opera is really the only pure music that an opera singer should sing. Mm. Not everyone holds that viewpoint, but a lot of the gatekeepers, they really do. And so to go off and venture off into other stuff, you'll get a lot of kind of the looking down the nose, like, really? Hmm. But after having done the album on Broadway and now kind of thinking of my voice in a different way, I said, you know what? Sure. Why not? Give it a shot. So I went to the first audition in Paris, and they said, very good. We'd like to sing. We'd like you to sing a couple of these songs. You know, have a listen to them, and we'll bring you over to London, and you can go in the booth and see how your voice mixes with the other guys' voices. Hmm. But I didn't have a computer.
They had already picked the other three.
They had already picked two.
Two. Okay.
I actually met Sebastian at that first audition in Paris, and they said they liked him, and they're like, "Okay, you're in." But I had a bit of competition. They were considering me and two other guys, so they wanted to hear how my voice blended with the other singers. So they sent me an MP3, which in 2004 was a very new thing, and I did not have a computer.
Oh.
So I was sitting in an internet cafe and having headphones on and trying to like memorize these songs, and they weren't sticking, and I couldn't work them into my throat. I couldn't get muscle memory for singing it, and they weren't sticking. And so with
plus, you can't really sing out loud in an internet cafe.
Exactly.
So
that's the other part.
How are you supposed to have muscle memory?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I would memorize it
if you're not using your muscle,
and then go back to the hotel room and try and remember it in the shower, and just couldn't. Mm. So, so with her last $200 in her checking account, Sarah Joy takes me out to a technology store and buys me a mini disc player so that I can plug it in and record it off of the audio. Wow. So then I have a method that I can practice in the hotel room. And if she had not done that for me, then there's no way I would have nailed it when I got to the studio in London. So it's my entire world is because of my wife, Sarah Joy.
Thank you, Sarah
Thank
Joy.
Thank you, Sarah.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, and there's, now I didn't know that piece of it. That's a great piece. Thank you for adding that to the story, by the way. This should be a movie. I mean, you know, I mean, I bet each Il Divo, you know, member has a story leading up, right?
Oh, yeah.
That I'm sure is fascinating, too. But the connection I made, and tell me if I remembered this correctly, because the last time we spoke about this was like I think 4 years ago. But you not been fired, quote unquote, from that Italy job, you would have been on contract and not been able to get to France and then get to London in order to do that.
That's absolutely true. Yes.
Right.
And that's the whole synchronicity of the entire story is if I had not gotten fired. Thank you. Thank you for helping me with my story. I'm glad you remember it better than I.
No, but I make these connections. I'm like, wait a minute, that's amazing. Because what was seemingly so
devastating,
the worst thing that could happen in your life, ended up being.
Yeah, if I had not gotten fired from Italy, then I would not have been available for the audition in Paris for my life-changing experience.
I feel so much better. Look at that smile.
I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure you're the only guy that I know that smiles as much as I do.
Maybe that's where we connected. So there you go. Is you're there now, and so the thing is, now you become a star. You're huge, you're famous. People scream and yell and love you. How do you keep that? I mean, it's like that's the before. Somehow you keep that I'm still that same guy. How do you do that?
I think a large part of that is Sarah Joy. She won't let me.
Thank you.
She won't
Sarah
let me
Joy.
Devo out. No, that's, I mean, that's only, I joke about that, but it's really more, it's more to do with that.
Who just sung at Carnegie Hall this weekend, by the way.
Yes,
congratulations.
Last night she made her Carnegie Hall debut.
That's exciting.
Yes.
Sarah Joy. Okay, sorry.
But I think a big part of fame is about when people receive their fame. And I think that a lot of groups, when they get a taste of fame early in life, before they really figured out who they are as people, you know, you take One Direction as an example. You know, they basically, you know, made it huge before they were out of their pubescence. And you don't know who you are at that point in your life, at that stage in your life. And I was lucky enough to have gone through so many life experiences and had established myself as a person, as an individual, as someone with ambition and goals and, you know, all the things that we have as adults.
And you still have them for even other projects.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, coupled with the worldview you were talking about at the top of the show that you had to keep that smile on, that worldview.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had a chance to make that part of my core personality so that when fame was kind of thrust at me, I had anchors, you know, I had tethers to who I was, and I knew why I wanted to sing before fame hit me. You know, a lot of people kind of come at this whole, I want to get famous, and one of the easiest ways to do it is if you've got a little talent and you can sing, that's kind of one of the fastest routes to it. Mm. So then everyone's, you know, making their YouTube, you know, filming themselves on their devices and uploading to YouTube of just selfie of them singing along with whatever track so that someone will notice them and they'll get their 15 minutes.
Mm.
But they don't realize that that's not really why they're singing.
Mm.
You know, people... I mean, I can go all metaphysical on on everybody if you like, but you know, for me, you know, for me, everything is about frequency. For me, there is for whatever reason, my brain kind of sinks into the various frequencies of when people talk or when they sing or music in general. But I hear the music, I hear the pitch of an engine as the car goes by. You know, I hear the pitch of the tires as they are, you know, a certain size tire will have a different pitch as it rolls along the road than a smaller tire. And, you know, all of these different things, I hear the pitches, I hear the vibrations, I hear the relationships between the harmonics of everything. You know,
reminds me of that movie August Rush.
August, I have not seen that.
Yeah, you'll have to check that out.
Oh,
it's
about
seeing the music or hearing the music and everything.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
oh, I definitely got to check that out. And so there's an intrinsic resonance to everything. And even if you just look at the science of everything, look at the science of how atoms vibrate, molecules vibrate, everything vibrates. The earth has a resonance. I think it's like 4.11 hertz, something like that. Just everything has a vibration.
Right.
And when, you know, some people can see auras around people or they see colors. Every color has a frequency.
Some people
see smiles. But it is, you know, there's the visible light spectrum. There's infrared. There's x-rays. There's everything is all about the wavelength.
Right.
Everything has a wavelength. And seeing the relationships and seeing the dynamics of people when they come into contact with a certain resonance, feelings have a certain frequency. And when you are broadcasting that frequency, people go with you. And it's all about a smile is contagious, a frown is contagious. Which do you want to be? What would you like to see in your life? And we're all mirrors for each other. And so when you're walking around with a big old grump on your face expecting the world to somehow reflect back to you a smile and somehow figure out how to please you, it's not going to happen. We all attract what we project, and we always find what we're looking for.
I promised you would hear a different David than you ever heard before,
right,
and
show.
There it is. You know what's really—it's
this really comfy purple
it's a
couch.
Great, oh, it has nothing to do with you
no,
and
it's,
I, Mark.
It's the royal
it's
purple,
definitely the purple
the royal
couch.
Purple
see
is
that
affecting
velvet
my aura
couch
and the velvet, of course. It feels.
You know, it's interesting that we talked about the name Il Divo is singular. We should also say that most people know the diva. That's the female version of the word. And we usually use it for somebody who's arrogant or who's, you know, who just, you know, will scream and yell, whatever, and act like a diva. Mm-hmm. Well, the male version of that is divo, but that's not what you all are all about. It's obviously not what you are about. And you just gave a whole new meaning for people that didn't know that Il Divo means more like a star.
Well, the literal roots of the word divo or diva come from divine.
Divine, right.
And that's ultimately what the name was bestowed upon the opera singers, because they spent their whole lives in service to finding that apex of sound, the most optimal sound that they could, that was I lost my train of thought. That was a resonance that mirrored the different emotions that went along with the virtuosic music. Mm. And people just said that those voices were divine. Mm. And so then they kind of truncated it and created it, gave it a persona as well. But then, you know, when you start treating somebody, and you go back to that whole, the issue of fame, when you start treating someone differently, if they're not careful, they will start believing that they're different.
And there you go. And there you go. Well, if nobody has said it up until now, I'm going to go ahead and say it. You have been listening to the divine David Miller.
Well, thank you very much.
Bravo.
and you know, a lot of people expected that you would sing. And we talked about this. And you said, let's talk this time. And next time we'll sing. So you did remember saying that, didn't you?
Yes, okay. Yes. The glazed look in my eyes is not because I didn't remember. I just really enjoy watching you as you are kind of like rapping along with this smile on your face.
You heard him speak, and next time, well, you can hear him sing anywhere, all over the world. Go to ildivo.com, and we have a link specifically to David's page on our website at lifechangesshow.com, where you can learn more about David, but otherwise, ildivo.com. Their current tour is
finished.
That's right. It's finished. Sorry.
Never mind. Last show. That's why I'm smiling.
All right.
Brilliant.
That was the divine David Miller. We'll be right back with our musical guest here on Life Changes, Nesta, right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, David Miller. We are joined in the studio by Nesta, with an exclamation point. She's a singer, songwriter, and recording artist. She's won Idlewild's Film Festival Best Music Video and Malibu Music Award Best Pop Song. That's really exciting. She has an album out called Surrender, but I understand we're not going to hear songs from Surrender. We're going to hear some songs that have never been heard before. This is a special show. See what I was telling you? So, Nesta, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This has been a fun, entertaining experience already. So,
And here we go.
And here we go.
And for more. We're ready for more. Now, you're joined in the studio here by Michael
Martinson.
Martinson.
Yes.
You're going to be playing the guitar.
Yes.
Okay. And so do
Michael's my right-hand man.
But you're also playing the guitar.
I am.
Okay, so how does this work?
So Michael and I met years ago when I moved to LA and has been basically my right-hand man since the very beginning. So
wow.
He's going to be backing me, and he's taught me everything I know, really.
Aw.
Thank you.
Aw, that is so cool.
It's true.
Okay, so the first song we're going to hear is Stay.
Yes.
Okay. What's that about?
So,
like, please don't go?
Basically.
Or? Oh, seriously?
Yeah, yeah, it is, actually. It's all about that moment that you meet someone and sparks start flying and you just want to spend all your time together.
Aww.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, which is about my husband that is the love of my life. So, yeah.
Aww.
All my songs are pretty much about him.
Okay.
one way, shape, or form.
Well, and about Sarah Joy also, apparently.
Yeah. You see me getting misty over here. So.
I know. I loved it because I can relate. So it's beautiful to hear that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we don't want me to get misty, not just yet.
Yeah.
But we do want to hear Stay. And
yes.
So here is Nesta with Stay on the Life Changes Show.
One, two.
Best intention, babe. I bring a bottle of wine. We'll sit here by the fire. Maybe something will happen this time. Are you a little nervous? Can I ease you with my eyes? Say it's getting late, babe. I can be your fate, baby. Why don't you stay? Just stay, baby. I wanna feel you next to me. Why don't you stay? Just stay, baby. Don't wanna lose this energy. Tell me, why don't falling, but I just see shooting stars. Don't wanna meet in the middle. I come to where you are. The fire embers are fading, but I still see a couple sparks. We're a little sleepy. I don't want you to leave me. Why don't you just stay, baby? I wanna feel you next to me. Why don't you stay, just stay, baby? Don't wanna lose this energy. Tell me, why don't you?
Nice.
All right.
Oh, man. You are Nesta with an exclamation point.
Totally.
Well, and can I say it? Is it okay to say you won't be offended if I say you're adorable?
No. How could I be offended by that?
Oh, okay, good.
That's
well,
amazing.
You're not only adorable. You know, I hope this is okay, but is this the video you won? You and I don't know who that is.
Husband, actually.
That's your husband?
Yeah.
Oh, the two of you look like, these are not models. Okay, so we posted a video on our website, on Nesta's page. Of two sexy people, half naked.
Yeah, it's
And the song is Better Now. You just have to go see it. And that's, you could see it there. Or you could go to Nesta Tunes. That's Nesta, N-E-S-T-A Tunes, T-U-N-E-S.com. Yep. And that's where you could also get these songs. You could get the Surrender CD or album. What else can we get there?
You can get it all. It's kind of central hub
yeah,
for
obviously.
Nesta.
Just yeah, obviously. Just look at the video.
You can get the videos, Instagram, all the things. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that video, it's a good one. So
yeah.
Go check it out.
Is that the one that won?
That's actually not the one that
wow.
won.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I have to see that one.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
You take it all off there, right? I mean, I'm sorry. The music is so good. Never. Music is so good. Anyway, so,
yes.
All right. So we're going to hear something. It sounds like it's going to be about love, too. Breathe in.
Yeah, actually, this is more just about the experience of life and how just reconnecting to the breath kind of brings you present and kind of gets you back into the moment, into really enjoying this experience that we're in, which is life.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's called Breathe In, yeah.
Well, thank you. And I should say again, thank you, Michael Martinson.
Thank you.
This is great.
Thank you.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. So this is Breathe In.
Yep.
On the Life Changes Show with Nesta.
Let's do this.
Everything, everything, everything you dreamed about. When you just breathe in and breathe out. Dream loud. Don't hold back your fears, let them go, don't shut them down. Be proud. You're everything, a perfect being, don't you ever forget that now. Thank you.
Well, you heard it here first. This was a world premiere of Breathe In, Nesta. Thank you so much for presenting that.
Thanks so much. Thanks for letting me be here.
It's been a pleasure. Yes. It's been a pleasure. I want to remind everybody they can go to Nesta Tunes, and Nesta is N-E-S-T-A, and get her music. This won't be available just yet.
Nope, not yet.
But you heard it here.
Only here.
This is exciting. So nestatunes.com. And of course, you never heard David Miller like you heard him tonight, and we hope to be able to hear more of him like that. What a special show. Did you see what I mean? Okay, so thank you, Nesta, again.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for being here.
Pleasure is ours. Thank you, David Miller, the divine David Miller, again. of Il Divo.
That's going to stick.
Jeez. Thank you very much.
That is our show. So I want to thank a big thank you to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so great.
Thank you, Brent.
And also a big thank you to Dom Newsom at BBS Radio for being our program manager. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our producer, Mark Lejeune, I am Filippo Voltaggio, your host, reminding you, I was doing so good. I'm so excited and I can't believe it's over. And I'm reminding you that as your life changes like mine just did tonight, I hope all of ours did too. We're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com. On Facebook at The Life Changes Show and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.